Hi there, I'm Richard. I'm the senior pastor of Every Nation Auckland City. We are a multicultural, multi-generational, socially responsible church that makes disciples. We hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
Good morning. My name is Wee Yong, one of the leaders here. I bring greetings from our senior pastors, Richard Chrissy, there in Kirikiriroa, Hamilton, ministering at our church over there. So what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. My friend and King, Anointed One, Most Holy. My friend and King, Anointed One, Most Holy. My friend and King, Anointed One, Most Holy. Let's pray. Jesus, Messiah, you are our friend, and yet you are King. You are the Anointed One, and you are Most Holy. Thank you, Jesus. In your mighty name, amen. Whew. Amen. You know those words seen in a sentence is just so shocking to see the word friend and King, Anointed One, Most Holy One, in the same sentence. Thank you. Is he your friend? You know, Jonah as a book is one of the shortest books in the Bible, and what an amazing book for us to learn about God, about not only God the Father, but God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, one God, three in one. And I love the Bible, how the Bible uses these amazing stories of humans just like us, and this series title, I Am Jonah. I don't know if you realize that that's speaking about us. This is the last installment of I Am Jonah, and I think next week Karina will wrap everything up in a nice little bow. So I'm looking forward to Karina's sermon. But I want to just give us a quick recap before I get into today's sermon. So Jonah chapter 1, God called him to go into the depths of a town called Nineveh, and a town that was the capital of the Assyrian kingdom. At the time, the Assyrian kingdom was the enemy of Israel, the people of God. The Assyrians were known to be evil. They attack the people around them. They absolutely loathe and hate the Israelites. They kill people. They murder babies. And as you would have heard, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Richard said that Prophet Jonah, a prophet is someone that carries the word of God, that God has anointed to speak his word. This is not a junior, brand new Christian that gave his life to the Lord by saying a prayer at an altar call in a church in Auckland. This is Prophet Jonah himself, Don. He has a relationship with God. He hears God's voice. He can sing that song, My Friend and King, Anointed One, Most Holy, with conviction. He's connected with God, and this Jonah runs the other way, as Pastor Richard told us a few weeks ago, to Tarshish. Opposite direction. And then, of course, the story goes that he jumps on a boat, not a cruise ship, but a boat with cargo. And then a massive storm happened because God is the God of nature. He can start storms and he can stop storms. And then I love how God speaks to animals. He says God appointed a whale. Interesting how the Bible uses words, right? It says God appointed a whale. It didn't say God spoke to the whale and goes, "Sup, whale, go eat Jonah." The word appointed is quite a formal word. You know, you get appointed into a role, that God appointed the whale to swallow up Jonah. And you know what? That happened because Jonah was tossed out of the boat because they prayed. The pagans actually prayed to something, and they realized, and they cast lots, and they realized that it was Jonah that caused the storm. They must be thinking, "What did you do, Jonah? What did you do to anger this God?" These are non-believing. They don't believe in God, but yet they realize that there's a God that is powerful. These aren't atheists that go, "God doesn't exist." They just didn't submit to this God that we serve. He was tossed out of the boat, and then God sends this whale to actually protect him because he would have drowned otherwise. And he spent 3 nights, 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale or a fish or a large hapuka. I don't know. It's a fish, right? Not really a whale. I use whale because it's what everyone knows. And then after that, it says that the fish spat out Jonah onto the beach. And as Pastor Richard very eloquently in dramatized form talked about how Jonah got onto the, he was just like, you know, a castaway with seaweed on his hair, stinking of fish belly, walks up to the beach, goes into the heart of Assyrian kingdom, and speaks the shortest sermon of all time, saying, "In 40 days you will be destroyed." Do you know, that's not exactly good news. You know, like, it's like, "Wooly, go into the head office at ASB and tell the CEO." No, no thank you, Lord. He goes into the heart of the Ninevite kingdom and told them the bad news, and incredibly, immediately, everyone started fasting and praying and putting on sackcloth, which represents contritement, like a real attitude of recognizing their sin. These are pagans, these are evil people, but at the word of the Lord, a short word from Jonah, the entire nation of Nineveh, they repented. It says the king also followed suit afterwards, and he declared a fast. He was a bit slow in following the rest of the country, but he did eventually. And then Pastor Richard talked about the fact that God saw that these people, the Ninevites, were contrite, and then he relented from putting disaster on Nineveh. If you've ever read it about Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis, the same type of words were used to describe the type of disaster God was going to bring on Nineveh. He was going to absolutely flatten the place. But God, because these people repented, relented. You know, it's interesting. Do you have friends that, like at high school or uni or wherever, where they hardly show up for classes and yet they pull A pluses? I'm going somewhere with this. Do you have people that play the sport that you play, they hardly train, whereas you're like at the gym at 5 a.m. every day, you got your sets and you do it faithfully, right? Whereas this person just kind of shows up to a game and wins the game. Do you know people that just kind of like, they eat everything they want and they have the body that you wish you had? Oh, that hit a nerve with some people. Life's not fair, right? That's how Jonah felt. That's how Jonah felt. This is how Jonah looked Next slide. Pouting. He wasn't impressed with God. Why? Let's look in Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, and let me read on. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. He's like, God, I knew you were so nice. You are so kind. You are so merciful. Lord, hang on a minute. This dude is complaining that God is merciful? Hello? What? Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me. He was so angry at God for being good that he wanted to kill himself. For it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city, made a booth for himself there, put on a deck chair and put on some picnic mats and some food. And he sat under the shade till he should see what would become of the city. He still held on to hope that God would destroy the city. Even God, though God said, no, they repented. I'm going to forgive them and I'm going to relent. But Jonah's like, I'm going to sit here, camp out, and I'm going to watch what God's going to do because they deserve to be punished. Because life's not fair, right? These Nineveh people have been killing babies, destroying our people, Israelites, and then they just repent, and then God lets them off? What are you talking about, Lord? That's not fair. You need to destroy them because they deserve to be punished. And he camps out there, up in the east of the city, just like, come on, Lord, do it. Do it. Destroy them. Right, Jez? Do it. So today's sermon's title is Jonah, a plant and a worm. Reading on, chapter 4, verse 68. Now the Lord God appointed. Everyone say appointed. He appointed a plant. God's pretty officious, eh? He takes it quite seriously when he talks to whales and plants. And made it come over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head. Because it said Jonah made his own shade, but God gave him another shade to save him from his discomfort. God gave him some comfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad. So he went from mad to glad. Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant, but when dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm. Everybody say worm. Did you know a worm was talked about in the Bible? If you think the Bible's boring, bro, you got to read the Bible. God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die and said, it's better for me to die than to live. Twice, this dude is a bit dramatic. Oh my goodness, Jonah. Verse 9 to 11, but God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant? For which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left hand, and also much cattle? Man. Let's look in the New Testament for a second. This reminded me of a passage I was preparing for the sermon this week. Luke 18, verse 9 to 14. There's this scene where Jesus talking to some people and got some religious dudes over here dressed in their robes, very serious, and then there's the rest of us, right? Luke 18, 9 to 14, it says, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Two men. Everyone say two men. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortionists, unjust, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, Willie. I give tithes and all of that I get then. But the tax collector, standing far off, he would not even lift his eyes to the heavens, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I am Jonah. Is this how I treat my friend and king, anointed one, most holy? Yes. Yes, many days I feel like my righteousness is because I've done all of these things. Did you know that the word good Christian doesn't exist in the Bible? Right? I just want to be a good Christian pastor. I've done this course. I've done that course. I've done the membership class. I've done disciple makers. I've done the 10 online prayer meetings. I give tithes. And then eventually you fall off the stage. There's no such thing as good Christian. We're all sinners saved by God's grace. How do we forget this? How do we forget this? You know, we were once Nineveh. That title could be just as well, I am Nineveh. Grammatically incorrect. But did we forget that we were once evil? Perhaps we are still evil. Our nature, we naturally tend towards evil things. There's nothing righteous about this. Just because I have a pastor, that's just my job. My name is Wee Yong, and I'm a sinner. And people call me Pastor Wee Yong. Like, I don't know. I don't like that title. Seriously. Pastor Richard had to, like, talk me into stopping. Like, I used to correct people. Don't call me Pastor Wee Yong. Just call me Wee Yong. That's my name. But he goes, it's okay. It's a title, you know. But the problem with titles, and I'm not criticizing a well-established system, that the problem with the world that we live in, the church, society, and culture we live in, is that we apply the system of the world where you start off as a junior, clean toilets and do all of this, and then you get promoted to senior toilet cleaner, and then you get promoted to, like, team leader of something, and then you get promoted to manager of something, then senior manager, and then general manager, and then CEO, and then eventually you get on the board, and you're like, I am not like those people. Thank you, Jesus, that I fast twice a week. You see, Larry Osborne wrote in a book called Accidental Pharisees, our spiritual comparisons are also incredibly biased. We have an amazing ability to compare things in a way that causes us to come up on top. And when we come up on top, it's hard not to look down on people who don't measure up. I'm guilty. You know, God relented. He didn't destroy Nineveh. Do you know what happened about 40 years later? The Assyrian kingdom destroyed the Israelites. Jonah could have gone, God, I told you so. Why did you not destroy them when you had a chance? But you see, God knows better. If you read through the Old Testament, there's this thing called the sin and grace cycle where Israel will sin and they will come to God and they'll repent, and then sometimes they don't repent and God has to send nations to destroy them, and then they repent and God forgives them, and it happens again and again and again. And in this case, God was using the Assyrian kingdom as his tool to execute judgment on God's chosen people, Israel. And you know what? 100 years after Jonah, it says in Nahum chapter 1, verse 14, that God ultimately had his way with the Assyrians. It says this: "The Lord has given commandment about you, the Assyrians. No more shall your name be perpetuated. From the house of your gods, I will cut off the carved image and the metal image. I will make your grave, for you are vile." God has his ways. If you feel it's not fair, if you feel like somehow God is blessing your enemies, if somehow God is allowing your enemies to live well or to prosper, you know, this morning in our prayer meeting, TJ asked a very simple question that cut deep. He asked, how would we feel if we were scrolling through social media and we found that our enemy who bullied us in high school gave their life to Jesus? Ouch. You see, trusting God means that we trust him to be judge and jury. He sees the full picture and we don't. When we think about people that are far away from God, do we have this attitude that it's them? Thank God I'm not like the unbeliever. Thank God I'm not like my colleagues that worship idols. Thank God. God, have mercy on them. Should that not be our attitude? God, use me as an instrument of your grace to introduce my friends who don't yet know you to my friend and King, Anointed One, Most Holy. To my boss, to the project manager, to my barista, to my coach, to my teacher, to my neighbor, to the person that pumps your petrol at the petrol station. Lord, have mercy. Lord, use me, a sinner saved by grace. That I'm not a good Christian. I am good because my righteousness comes from you. Amen. Romans 3, 23 to 25 says this: "For all have sinned." Everyone say all. "All have sinned and fall short of God's glory and are justified by his grace as a gift." Everyone say gift. "Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood." Propitiation is a fancy word to say that he took on the wrath and punishment of God. God's holiness demands punishment on unholiness, and Jesus himself took on the full weight of God's fury. Propitiation. By his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance or his tolerance or his patience, he had passed over former sins. Friends, as I come to land this plane here, will I let God use us to love those you feel don't deserve it? You see, self-righteousness manifests as a lack of trust in God's sovereignty, in God's foreknowledge, in God's strength, in God's mercy, in God's grace, in God's power. Self-righteousness, let me say that again, manifests as a lack of trust in God's sovereignty, God's foreknowledge, and God's grace. and his mercy. You know, apathy and a casual attitude to the Great Commission is symptomatic of a lack of trust or understanding of our sinfulness and the depths of God's grace. We're all Jonah. We're all Nineveh. Nothing more, nothing less. Would we allow God's grace to deeply transform us from the inside out? That every day, when we wake up in the morning, we give credit and glory to God that we're still breathing. And the fact that we're still breathing, my friends, means there's a job to be done. There are people that you cut their hair, Don, at your barber shop that just need you to encourage them. There are people, Len, at your workplace that just bringing them a cup of water when they need it the most and a word of encouragement might be the turning point between depression and joy. John, at your engineering workplace, you walk into that place carrying the Spirit of God every single day. Not you, the Spirit of God. Youth, every place you go, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and that's an if, you carry the Spirit of God. You represent Him. You're not too young. In fact, young means you've not developed too many chips on your shoulder. Us old guys, we're more like Jonah than you are because we've had more experience in looking at others to go, that's not fair, they don't deserve God. But from your innocence, I believe God will use you guys to transform this nation. Because you just love God. So let us close in prayer. How are we doing for time? Yeah, we're good for time. Let's close our eyes for a moment of privacy and focus and attention. It's always good to take a moment to reflect on what you've just heard and to give our neighbors some, thank you, I need a box, to give our neighbors some privacy as well. Let's not be looking around. Let's just take about 30 seconds in silence. With our eyes closed, I want to pray for two groups of people. The first, you realize through the last few weeks of teaching and preaching that you're Jonah. Or perhaps today you realize you're Nineveh. Either way, whatever you are, you've realized that self-righteousness has crept into your heart. You've realized that an apathetic attitude has crept into your heart. Maybe you've realized that actually you're so comfortable in your comfort zone that you've taken your salvation for granted